May the Lord give us what the portion we need to take with us today. Ephesians, the fifth chapter, is where we're at. Ephesians 5. We're ready for the 19th verse, but I'm going to read the 18th verse that we had last week to kind of ease us into this subject of 19. It says, this is Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Praise the Lord. So being filled with the Spirit, we see the worship is emphasized here. The heart occupied with Jesus, and the melody of the heart is unto the Lord. Yes. True worship, we gain now, and there we'll gain an eternal reward from the Lord yet to come. Looking up these words about psalms and hymns and so on, I did not take what I read in somebody's commentary because I didn't know where they had gotten it. So I looked in Strong's, which gives us the Greek, the original Greek. And the Greek word in Strong's for psalms is a sacred piece of music accompanied with the voice, harp, or other instruments. Now that's what this Greek word means. So musical instruments are not only permissible, but they are profitable when yielded to the Holy Spirit. I know ones that play different instruments. You can just sense when they're playing yielded to the Spirit. It's just marvelous, wonderful. The Greek word for hymns means to celebrate in songs, praise unto. That's what the Strong's gives. And then the two Greek words that make up spiritual songs. Well, we have to divide it, look up spiritual first. And it means non-carnal, divinely supernatural, spiritual. And then the word songs, you look it up in Strong's, it means a chant or ode, words sung. So what do we notice here? Spiritual comes before songs, spiritual songs. And of course, only spiritual hymns and songs are the ones that glorify the Lord. And thank the Lord for our hymn book that we have that has spiritual songs for us to sing. Praise the Lord. You know, spiritual singing, it seems to charm the atmosphere. And it breaks Satan's power, that we can just enter into the presence of the Lord and thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Well, you know, we read in the Old Testament something interesting. It's in 2 Kings 3:15 of Elisha. And it says that he obtained the will of the Lord, the will of God, it says, the will of God when the minstrels played. It says the hand of the Lord came upon him. I thought that was interesting. Well, when we're all together, we're singing and we're worshiping the Lord in song, everyone's blessed, aren't we? We're blessed, and we're singing some wonderful words that are scriptural, and the Holy, you can just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in the singing. Thank the Lord. Sometimes we're beside ourselves and we clap to the Lord, or we raise our arms. Are we too stiff to do that? No, we aren't. We're worshiping the Lord. We can clap or we can raise our hands, praise the Lord. You know, that raising of the hands is, you know, when somebody's holding you up, that's surrender. Well, we want to surrender to him, don't we? Give him all the praise that is due him. Well, verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not something that we do just in meeting, but from what we read here, at all times. God is not only present with our gathering together. You know that scripture says where two or three are gathered together, there is he in your midst. Well, that's not all. That's the only time. No, he's with us, each one of us, all the time, individually. Selah, think upon that. He's with us. Well, God, our Father, allows nothing to come our way except that he turns it for good for us. Now, sometimes we think, oh, how could this turn to any good for me? But the Lord, but God. Sometimes we go through some really rough times, and sometimes we don't understand them. But as we look unto him, we can believe that he's working good for us. He knows what we need, and sometimes it's a trial, but he knows we need it. Well, in Psalms 31:15, it says, our times are in his hands. Praise the Lord. And I think you all know Romans 8:28. You probably all could quote it. For we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He's able. He's able. Praise the Lord. And our thanksgiving should be in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it will be as though he were giving thanks to the Father for all things. Yes. Just meditate on verses like that, and it just gives you a little bit more depth to it than just that surface reading. Well, the Father and the Son will bring blessing to us, and it brings glory to them. Brings glory to them. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, this is an essential feature of walking accurately. Haven't we studied earlier in this chapter that we are to walk accurately? Yes. This is an essential feature of walking accurately, submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. It's powerful proof of being filled with the Spirit. For it is he, the Holy Spirit, that works this mutual submission in us as we yield to him. It's not forced upon us, but as we yield unto the Spirit does that work. Amen? Thank the Lord. Now, this isn't something just to be observed while we're here at church, but what does it say? It's always, as well as the thanks is, for always that we give thanks. Well, our submission is to be in the fear of God. Now you might say, well, now why does it say that? Well, he is the judge, and he's waiting to see whether we're going to obey his word. You know what God's doing during this time, this grace age? He's building a woman for his son. See, he's watching us. He's seeing if we're going to obey the word. Are we going to submit? And we all know the story in Genesis 2:22. God took a rib and he builded a woman and he brought her to the man. That's exactly what God is doing during this grace age, during this church age. Out of the body of the church, a rib portion, he is building a woman for his son. So it's not by accident that we're reading here first the exhortation of submission. See, the Holy Spirit, by bringing that out first, is leading up to the bride of Christ. And submission is very necessary. We had in this chapter already that we are to walk in love, to walk as children of light, to walk circumspectly, and that should climax in submitting ourselves one to another in the fear of God. See the working of the Holy Spirit as we yield? Yes. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now, bridal subjection is true of the glorious church. You know, the company that will be the bride that is without spot or wrinkle or anything at Mars is called the glorious church. That rib company. And verse 22 tells us that this is a great mystery concerning Christ and the church. Now, this is deep, folks. This is a great mystery concerning Christ and the church. So these verses, although they are a blessing to take in our natural joining of a man and a woman and husband and wife, these verses weren't just written that married couples can live happily. These attitudes are an expression of the truth concerning Christ and his people. We are learning some of the deepest and sweetest intimate fellowship and relationship between Christ and his bride. The wife, of course, being a picture of the bride of Christ, and her subjection unto her husband is as unto the Lord. And the husband, of course, is a picture of Christ. Verse 23 and 24. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we see here the measure of subjection. It is as the church is subject to Christ. And the spirit of subjection from the heart is in preparation of bridehood. The spirit of full surrender to the perfect will of God in all things. That's what's being done in our lives. It's not an overnight thing. No, it's a continual working. And so the wife's subjection to her husband figures the believer's submission to Christ. Verse 21 leads us up to this point by bringing out submission one to another. That's being in submission to Jesus. And do we not read in Galatians 5:13, but by love serve one another. Every scriptural husband pictures Christ as head and husband of his people. And when we see this with our heart, a heart revelation of what God tells us, of our relationship to Christ, then we gladly hold these attitudes toward one another. Christ is the Savior of the body. It's his people, and it is his body. And before the church was ever formed, Jesus said unto Peter in Matthew 16, I will build my church. This is before the church was formed. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is its Savior. Well, he saved everyone, each one of us, from our sins. And as a husband, he provides every need and comforts her. Praise the Lord. You know, all of these things are good for us to meditate upon and to consider and to enjoy. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, this isn't speaking of some superficial, selfish love, but it is even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's the measure of Christ's love for his people. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 4 and 5. Here is something that we should consider on the other side of the coin, I guess. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Praise the Lord. Now, that's not something you'd think, well, I would want to read here this morning, but oh yes. May the believing, the Christian wife, remember that the husband is the image and the glory of God. But also, may the believing Christian husband bear in life that the wife is his glory. Then the husband and wife will love each other, and they will manifest in their lives the presence of Christ. Now that's something. That's no small matter. And for what purpose did Jesus give himself up for the church? Well, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Well, we read, and it is stated in verse 2 of this chapter, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God, for a sweet-smelling savor. He offered himself for us, a sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savor. Now, the Ephesian saints were already cleansed by regeneration, and so that's not what it's speaking of here, but that they should be wholly separated from all that would mar their fellowship with Christ. Did not Jesus pray for this? John, the 17th chapter. He says, for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. He set himself up as an offering to God in our behalf. And it was a sweet-smelling savor for us. We are accepted of the Father in Christ as sanctified. I mean set apart unto Him. We smell sweet to the Father in Jesus Christ, in Him. And we need to see ourselves accepted in Christ, letting Christ walk in us, yielding to that life, that new creation life, the life of Christ. Then the Spirit will work in us God's perfect will. As I said, this isn't an overnight thing. No. Separated from everything as Jesus was separated. See how that's a all our lifetime work that's being done? And we can enjoy a complete inward separation unto Jesus, and then the outward sanctification will result. I pause to let you think about that. At our new birth, we were provisionally sanctified. We know the scripture, old things were passed away, behold, all things are new. They have become new, yes. But we're still in this body of flesh. And the old man was not taken out root and branch, even though there are some who teach that. A believer has two natures. All you have to do is read Romans 6, 7, and 8. And you come to realize your experiences aren't any different than the Apostle Paul's and the struggle between the two natures. Well, that old Adam nature and the nature of Christ. Practical sanctification is a process. It is a cleansing. It is a growing spiritually that continues throughout our lives. Perfecting love in us. Perfecting everything that is of Christ. Perfecting us in us. Praise the Lord. The bridal company will be thoroughly sanctified. Don't we read without blemish, without spot or wrinkle? Completely devoted to Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Praise the Lord. Let us take Him for our sanctification, set apart unto our Lord from everything that would mar our fellowship with Him. Let's sing a song.